Let's just pause and pray. Father, we want to turn now for a moment to these powerful, dramatic, and clear words from the book of Isaiah. And my prayer is that you will meet each one of us, Lord, at our point of understanding and faith, or indeed our lack of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We went to the midnight service over at Bramshott last night, became an Anglican for a couple of hours, which is always a wonderful experience at this time of the year. And the question that Val was asking was, does God care? When you look around the world at the moment, when you see events in America, events in North Africa, Syria, there's just so much pain and so much suffering. And so many people are asking that question, does God care? Well, I think the answer to that question has already been illustrated in the story that has been so graphically played out before us this morning with the children. We see Christmas as a time of light, and that is right and proper, but there is a darkness to Christmas that cannot be ignored. When one considers the situation then, we wrap this story up in cotton wool and we make it nice. But there was a bureaucratic burden on the people of the nations. There was an oppressive government. There was an occupying army. There was people concerned about self-interest and power. And the poor were oppressed. Mary, very young, heavily pregnant, engaged to a carpenter, having to endure that long trip, and then nowhere to stay except for the act of kindness that secures them space at a room at the back of the inn where the animals were housed. And into this came the Son of God. Does God care? Most certainly. You see, the Jews expected a Messiah. They were looking forward to the coming of a king, but not a king like this. And in due course, they would reject him and indeed play the key role in his crucifixion. Does God care? Both Christmas and the cross remind us that God cares very much. But let me ask you a question, as I want to just unpack those a little bit. And for those that are from Lippook, I apologize. But every quarter we write an article in the magazine. And the short one I wrote for this Christmas, I think, is a very good question for us as we start this Christmas day together. Because Advent and Christmas repeatedly confront us with words that can be so familiar, and yet their familiarity often masks the depth of meaning that we're actually reading or saying. And I want you to encourage you over this Christmas period, as I did the people of this village, to ponder these words, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I've mentioned, and he wrote some very powerful words from his prison cell. He said, "We cannot approach the manger of the Christ child in the same way that we approach the cradle of any other baby. Rather, when we go to this manger, something happens. We cannot leave it again until we've either been judged or we've been redeemed and set free. Here we must either collapse or know the mercy of God." What does this mean? Isn't all this just pastoral exaggeration of a pretty and a pious legend? What does it mean that such things are said about the Christ child? See, the truth is, those who want to take it as a way of speaking will do so, and will continue to celebrate Christmas as before with pagan indifference. But for us, it's not just a way of speaking. For us, it's just that. It's God himself, the Lord and creator of all things, who here is small, who here is hidden in the stable, who enters the plainness of the world without power, and he meets us, you and me, in our helplessness. As a defenseless child, he comes to us, and he wants to be with us. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God is still with us this morning. And how will you approach the familiarity of this Christmas? Those words that we read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. This is the voice of God himself, speaking so clearly and yet so long ago. We had the nation of Israel in the midst of all their guilt, in the midst of all their distress, and God speaks with a still small voice, full of mystery, but full of the blessed certainty of salvation through the birth of a divine child. It is still some 700 years, folks, until this event will unfold. But the prophet Isaiah receives from God those words. He speaks of the future as if he is already there in that stable with that manger right before him. His adoration is such that as he speaks, this hour of salvation, it's as if he is actually in the midst of it and experiencing it for himself. He's lost in wonder, love and awe. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. You see, what will happen one day is already certain and fixed by God in his decrees. And it will not only be the salvation of future generations, but it will be already for Isaiah and each generation that follows, and it will be for us, our salvation, if we accept this son, this child that is given to us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. No human spirit could have motivated these words. No human spirit could have spoken with the confidence that Isaiah proclaims. How are we today to know what tomorrow brings, supposed to look forward 7 centuries? But God can, God does, and God did. And only the Spirit of God can do that so clearly that he impressed on this prophet Isaiah. And he did it for the strengthening of you and I that are believers this morning, and as a warning and a welcome to those who may yet not believe. And that voice enters the words of the shepherd that you read in Luke 2, 15 through 20. But today, that same voice of Isaiah enters into the full jubilation of the Christ-believing community, his church. And we celebrate this truth. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. You know, the truth is that while things have changed materially, the reality is that man in his heart has not changed at all. You think of that situation in which Mary and Joseph find themselves, and you look around the world that we live in this morning. And I want you to note, as I close this morning, the personal nature of these words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. What is Christmas all about? It's about us. In the nicest possible way. God is giving us his son. In the midst of poverty and humility, he takes on flesh for us. He would live a short life, 33 years or thereabouts, and he would give it up again for us. And one day he's going to return again, as Nicole has already spoken of, for us. Now, I'm no prophet, But let me tell you something I'm very, very sure of. You may well get lots of lovely presents today. Beautiful gifts. And they will be given by love. Even the socks and the hankies, guys. Do we still use hankies? Never mind, get them. But they're given with love. They're gifts of love. From our partners, from our wives, from our children, from our parents, from our aunts, our uncles, and everybody else. But let me tell you something. You will never, ever get a gift to match the gift of this child represented here this morning. And he brought for you the gift of eternal life. He brought for you the gift of forgiveness. He brought for you peace with God. And then my question to you as you head off for your turkey and everything else this morning is very simple. How will you leave this crib this morning? Will you receive this greatest gift? Will you receive this costliest gift known to mankind and make it your own? Or will it lie unopened for yet another year? For to us a son is born. Let's rise and sing our closing carol.